Hello, and welcome to The Reading Life, WWNO's weekly look at the New Orleans literary scene. I'm Susan Larson. My guests this week are New Orleans First Lady Cheryl Landrieu, who'll be hosting the 3rd Annual Children's Book Festival coming up this weekend. We'll also talk with musician and children's book author Johnette Downing, whose new CD is Reading Rocks, and whose new book is Why the Possum Has a Large Grin. And we'll talk with Sheila Cork, the librarian at the New Orleans Museum of Art. It's my great pleasure today to welcome the First Lady of New Orleans, Cheryl Landrieu. She does a lot of wonderful things for our city, and a very special one is coming up, the 3rd Annual Children's Book Festival. That's October 20th at Ladder Library. Welcome to The Reading Life.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
So tell us how this festival got started.
Well, a couple of years ago, I think it was in 2010, I met a lady named Ruby Bridges right after my husband got elected mayor, and I'm a big literacy advocate, as she is, and we got to talking one night and discussed how there's so many festivals in New Orleans, not very many that are specifically drawn for kids, and we thought, wouldn't it be great to have something that was a kids' festival that was centered around the love of reading so that we could bring kids together from all over the city that maybe not don't get to know each other on a regular basis, but they could come and just have a good time, and they would learn a lot about reading and just spend time together, and there's book giveaways and other ways to draw the kids, and so it's just been a great collaboration and partnership between Ruby Bridges and myself to kind of give kids of New Orleans a great activity to do in the fall.
So you've come a long way in 3 years. You started in 2010, and I know you work with some other literacy organizations in putting this together, right?
Yes, we do. We have many partners that we work with, Scholastic Books and First Books, and we've had over the course of the time, we've partnered with the Children's Museum, and Octavia Books helps us out. We have a lot of partners that are very helpful to us.
And the New Orleans Public Library, of course.
Yes, of course. The Public Library has been terrific. They've welcomed us with open arms at Ladder. That's the venue where it is. And it's such a beautiful library to have kids come from all over the city to see that particular beautiful library.
What do you think
great.
It is about that library?
It's just one like no other. I think people see it, and it's just so iconic and so spectacular just when you're driving up. And then once you get inside, there's all those nooks and crannies and, you know, little places where you can go kind of read. And then the grounds are so beautiful. That's where we have the festivals, mostly outside on the grounds. And, you know, in the fall, it's just such a beautiful spot to be. And I think kids that haven't been, you know, into that neighborhood of just so excited. I know that for Ruby, that was a great draw for her to have it there where kids maybe from the Ninth Ward haven't been able to see such a such that type of a library. And mm-hmm. So they've enjoyed being there and seeing it. So it's been great.
Now, one special component of this festival takes place the night before October 19th.
Yes, that's been a favorite of mine. When Mitch was the lieutenant governor, we did a book festival in Baton Rouge, and it was a statewide thing, and that was under his office at the time. And I always wondered why we didn't have a wonderful book festival in New Orleans. And so that's part of the other reason why we decided to do this. And before he left the lieutenant governor's office, we asked the symphony to come and perform songs from children's books. Well, we've kind of done a different take on that with the New Orleans Children's Book Festival because it's a children's orchestra that comes and performs, and it's the Greater New Orleans Youth Orchestra. And they're a wonderful, wonderful group of children that come and perform under Dr. Montez, and they perform songs and different productions from different children's books, and Ruby Bridges narrates it. And last year, it was on a Friday evening, and it will be on a Friday evening this year as well. And kids come out, and they dance and sing and play out on the grounds of the library, and parents can bring picnic baskets, and it's a very relaxed atmosphere and just kind of an uplifting place for kids to be able to be outside and enjoying music that's associated with books.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're a mother of 5 kids. So I have to ask you this. What are some of your special memories sharing books with your kids?
Well, I've got a lot of memories. Books have always been a big part of my life. I've always loved to read, and my children have loved to read. And one of the most special things that I've done as a mom is I have 2 girls and 3 boys, and I never did make it with the boys, but with the girls, we were for many years involved in a mother-daughter book club.
Oh, great.
And we got to read many books that were geared towards children, but they were always, you know, a lot of these authors can write great, wonderful books that are also great for adults. And so we did that for about 8 years or so. We did that, and it was just a special time to read a book together with my daughters, and then we'd go to a meeting and share what we thought about them. And that's been great. And to this day, they both are big readers and love to do that. So that's been a very special time for me as a mother.
Oh, doesn't that make you proud?
It does. It does. And it was a lot of fun as well. So it was good.
All right. Now I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Okay.
What's your favorite New Orleans book?
Oh, my goodness. I have so many books that I love to read. I don't know what my favorite book would be. I mean, I read a lot of nonfiction books. I read fiction books sometimes, too, but I also read a lot of nonfiction books. I like to garden, and so I read a lot of books about New Orleans gardens and things like that. So I don't have the traditional kind of New Orleans books. But as I think about other books that apply to New Orleans, I know, you know, since the storm, there have been a lot of authors who have written books about what New Orleans means, and and those books have been very interesting to read as well. So
we've been in a time where people have been writing to inspire us in the comeback, I think, in a lot of ways.
Yes.
So things like Why New Orleans Matters, those books.
Yes.
It's been really special, I think. Now, what is your hope for this festival? Are you going to stick with it for a long, long time?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I hope so. I hope that this festival will be a seed that begins to grow in New Orleans, and so we can we've started off, you know, not as quickly as we would like, but it's been a gradual build with this festival, and there's been a wonderful outpouring of support from the community of people saying, we want things for our kids to do, and we will support that. And a lot of people have come out, but we would like to see it is grow, and we'd like to see kids from all over the city, not just one particular area, but we want to really bring in kids from different schools. This year we have a big school outreach program that we're doing, and so we're trying to get more kids to come from around the city. And so that's my hope. My hope is that we can grow the festival to be, you know, keep the charm of the festival that we have now, but be able to grow it into something where many of the New Orleans children can participate in it.
Well, we want everybody to come out to the Children's Book Festival October 20th from 10 to 2 at Ladder Library. There'll be all kinds of activities for all ages of kids.
Yes, there are. There's book readings by many authors. I know my favorite is Alex Beard, I hope is coming this year, because he does a wonderful elephant impression while he's reading his books, and that's a big treat to have. And we've had music and other celebrity readings and face painting and storytelling and book signings, and you can purchase books. One year we had one of the Saints players had written a book, and he came out and signed and sold some books, and so that was a lot of fun as well.
So, a lot of books, a lot of love,
yes,
a lot of fun.
Yes, and also before I go, I want to tell you that there's also a book giveaway at the start of the festival, and we have many books. I don't know exactly how many this year, but we've had several thousand in the past that each child that comes is given a book when they arrive, and so that's actually a great, great thing as well.
Oh, I love it. Nothing better than sending a kid home with a book.
Exactly.
That's great. Well, don't miss the 3rd Annual Children's Book Festival, Saturday, October 20th from 10 a.m. to 2 at Ladder Library, 5120 St. Charles Avenue, and it's free.
It's free.
Don't forget these wonderful children's book authors, Jean Castles, Paula Trump, Alex Beard, Ruby Bridges, and Dee Scallon, who will be there too. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you, Susan, for having me.
I said, Mama, won't you read me one more book before I go to bed? 'Cause I'm really not tired and I don't want to rest my head.
One more book.
No, no. I said, Daddy, won't you read me one more book before I turn out the lights? 'Cause I'm really not tired and I don't want to say goodnight.
One more book.
Snow White had a fright, the mean queen gave her a bite of an apple and she fell asleep.
Read about it.
Jack climbed the beanstalk, he made the golden goose squawk. The yogurt nearly had him to eat.
Read about it.
Cinderella was dressed in yellow, she went upstairs and kissed the fella, said, no more chores for me.
That's right.
Read about it.
Billy Goat said, Metatro, he promised he would eat him whole. But Billy Goat said, I don't think so. I said, Mama, won't you read me one more book before I go to bed?
One more book.
'Cause I'm really not tired and I don't want to rest my head.
One more book.
It's a great pleasure to welcome my friend Johnette Downing to The Reading Life. Johnette is a wonderful singer and songwriter who's won many, many awards for her CDs and music for children. And in addition to her musical work, she's an accomplished poet and children's book author. Today, we'll be hearing a bit from her new CD, Reading Rocks. Of course, I love it. And talking about her new book, Why the Possum Has a Large Grin. Hi, Johnette.
Hi. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thanks. So, Reading Rocks, songs about reading.
Yes.
How'd this get started?
Because I love to read and I love music, and my parents were both musicians and avid readers. So for me, it's a perfect match.
And many of your songs have grown out of your books in the first place, right?
Exactly. Yeah, many of my songs are books. So you can read them and you can sing them. It makes the singing-reading connection.
Mm-hmm. And that's a great one for kids. You've been on the road a bit with this CD already.
I have.
So how are the kids responding to it?
Great, because it motivates reluctant readers to sing along. And you say, oh, we just sang a book. Really? Wow. I didn't think I liked books. Ah, but now you can sing them. Mm-hmm. So it's been fun.
And a lot of times you draw specifically from Louisiana culture for your stories. Tell us how that works, because you've been around the world with these books.
I have. Well, you know, I follow the rules of writing. Write what you know and write what you love. And I love Louisiana culture. And I've been able to travel all over the world. And wherever I go, they say, bring us your Louisiana culture, because Louisiana is loved worldwide, as you know. So it's just been such a delight.
Oh, that's great. So now we're going to take a listen to Reading Rocks.
Roll on into the library, 'cause reading rocks. Roll on into the library, 'cause reading rocks.
Tell us a little bit about the origin of the new book, Why the Possum Has a Large Grin.
This is a Choctaw tale from Louisiana, and it's based on the North Shore of Louisiana, so I thought that was really a great thing. And it's a Y tale, and I decided, you know, it's about a possum and a deer, and I decided to make it a double Y tale. So there are two endings of why the deer has something special and why the possum has something special, but I won't tell you what it is because you have to read the book.
Now, you've been drawn to Y tales for a long time.
I have.
Those things. What is it that gets to you about them?
I just like the idea of origin, you know, how things came to be. I also like Native American tales. Way back in my history, I'm Native American. Of course, I'm a gumbo of everything else, too. Mm-hmm. But so I've been drawn to Y tales and origin, how things came to be. So.
And that's basically, you know, the first kind of question a child asks. Why is the sky blue? Why does the possum have a large grin? We'll have to read it and find out. All right. We've been talking with the wonderful Johnette Downing. You can see her on October 26th at the Boo at the Zoo, and again Saturday, October 27th at the Louisiana Book Festival at the State Capitol, performing in the Kids' Tent. Thanks so much, Johnette.
Thank you for having me. And I just wanted to take a second to say thank you so much, Susan, for being such a champion of authors and illustrators and musicians, too. And I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you.
It's story time. It's story time. Gather around for story time. It's time to move, y'all. Get in the groove, yeah. For story time. For story time.
Sheila Cork is the librarian at the Felix J. Dreyfus Library at the New Orleans Museum of Art. She was born in the United Kingdom, and you'll notice her lovely accent right away. She went to library school in Leeds, and she and her husband moved to the U.S. in 1985. She's been a librarian in East Lafayette, Indiana, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, and took the job at the New Orleans Museum of Art in June 2005. As she says, not the best time. Sheila loves art, and so it seemed that the idea of a book club centered on art was a natural for the museum. Welcome to The Reading Life, Sheila.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So first, tell us about the NOMA Library. What sorts of things are in the NOMA Library?
Well, we have a collection of about 20,000 books related to art, and then 70 periodical titles that are all art. And exhibition archives from the very earliest exhibitions in 1911. NOMA scrapbooks from 1910, when the groundbreaking and the first proposals for the museum.
Oh, what fun. I love the idea of NOMA scrapbooks.
Yeah, they're huge metal-bound scrapbooks. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, one of my volunteers who loves archive work is digitizing those. So we have a really great project there, and she's loving it.
And who are the primary users of this library?
Mostly the curatorial staff and the interns, but then the museum members. Just trying to think. The members of the public are allowed to come in. We prefer that they make an appointment, but they don't need to. Local students and educators and other people who are interested in research about art. So although they might not come in presence, I get lots of emails from people who are researching art by a particular artist, or they have somebody that's coming in for an exhibition at their gallery or their museum, and they want to check on his exhibition record with us. And so it's really interesting, mm-hmm. interesting mix of ideas, people, questions.
I love special purpose libraries, you know. It's very nice. So when did the book club start? You've had a lot of fun with this book club, I think.
I have. And it started in 2008 because I went to a library meeting where they were discussing the topic of embedded librarians, which applies particularly to college libraries. And it's talking about getting libraries out of the library and having library offices or librarians' offices very close to the discipline that their special training is applicable to. But one of the things that came up in that is library programming. And I heard that college libraries had programming. And I had a background in public library programming, but I thought that if I was in an art museum library, that might not be applicable. But anyway, I thought, I'll try it. So I did. And it really took off. And it is fun. Mm. We learn a lot too. But it's fun.
And now NOMA is like the place to be. Friday nights you go out there and tons of things are happening.
Yeah, that's really developed. Our new director has really encouraged all of our activities, with the public. And it's really developed on Friday evening, so we have musicians playing, then special lectures, programming for children. I think we have film screenings. there are just all kinds of things going on mm-hmm. in the evenings.
But the book club meets fairly regularly.
Yeah, the book club meets at least once a month, mm-hmm. and that's where we discuss the book that we're going to read that month. But then as often as I can, I throw in field trips and also curatorial walkthroughs and special programs in the library. Also, we have author-led book discussions too. So we're busy.
So tell us what some of the most successful books you've done in the book group have been.
Well, it's been a mix of fiction and nonfiction that are successful. And Natalie Scott, A Magnificent Life, which was a biography of Natalie Scott by John W. Scott, was really great. And then a novel called Restoration by John Ed Bradley. Oh, that was fun. That gave rise to a great trip to the historic New Orleans collection and to the French Quarter for lunch.
And that's a wonderful book about the New Orleans art scene, especially.
Yes, that was about the discovery of the mural. In the book, I think it was a post office, but in real life, the mural is in the yoga gallery, and it is on Canal Street.
And John Ed's become a collector of Southern art, too.
Yes, he told us all about that. He actually came in and led our book discussion meeting for that and said it was an obsession that, mm-hmm. with him. Yeah, so that was fun. The Rape of Europa actually was one of the reasons why we initiated field trips. The book, The Rape of Europa, brought in a class of high school students from Reserve with their art teachers. They had just been doing a module about European art and its transition to the United States. And she wanted to show her children how some of the art came in during the Nazi regime and how it was forcibly taken from people, and that's how some of it made its way over, and also people fleeing brought the art over. So we had about 12 or so students from Reserve. I think it was St. John the Baptist, but I don't remember. But they came in from Reserve and then invited us to go back to their school at a later date to see their high school mural. Every year the high school art students do a great mural. So that was our first field trip. We all carpooled and drove over there. And we had such a great time that we thought we have to put field trips on the agenda. So we do. We have two or three field trips a year.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's fun.
So who picks the books?
The members of the book club.
And do you have to be a member of the museum to be a member of the book club?
No, but we would prefer it. But you don't have to be a member, no. Mm-hmm. Depending on the day we meet, unless it's a Wednesday, when NOMA is open at no charge, you would have to pay an admission fee mm-hmm. to get into NOMA. If you're a member of NOMA, you never have to pay mm-hmm. an admission fee. So,
and what do you think is the key to keeping a good book club going?
I don't know. I'm afraid if I think about it too much that it'll stop.
It's just working so well.
Yes. I think part of it is that the people who are in the book club are very actively involved in it. Because they select the books, they really enjoy discussing their books, and everybody's pretty good about coming to all the meetings. And then a lot of them are involved with the museum in other ways. So some of them are docents or former docents. Also a great bunch of people with good ideas, so the discussion is always really very interesting and informative. And everybody just brings a lot to it. So
passion, no substitute for the passion.
Yes, and I think we've just hit a time when people are looking at book clubs and they want focused book clubs. So there are lots of book clubs out there, but book clubs that just are about their special interest, that's important to them.
Mm-hmm. And I know you have a great, great program coming up in October when you're doing Newcomb College, 1886 to 2006, Higher Education for Women in New Orleans by Susan Tucker and Beth Willinger. And I know Susan Tucker is going to speak at the museum on October 12th at noon.
Right.
And then on the 24th, the book club will meet at Arthur Roger Gallery for a discussion of Ida Kohlmeier's work at 10:30. And you'll have lunch.
Yes. And the Ida Kohlmeier connection is really why we're doing this. And we are having a exhibition at NOMA, which will feature some of Ida Kohlmeier's work.
Oh,
and
that's great.
Ida Kohlmeier and other local artists come up in this book of Susan Tucker's.
It's amazing how many New Orleans artists are in this book and have come from Newcomb. Astonishing.
Yeah.
Well, keep up the good work with the book group. We'll try to get you some new members. Thanks so much, Sheila.
Thanks. It was great coming here. Thanks for having me.
We've been talking with Sheila Cork, the librarian at the New Orleans Museum of Art. Here's what's on tap in the literary life this week. Michael Allen Zell signs Errata Tuesday, October 16th at 6 at Octavia Books, Wednesday, October 17th at 6:30 at Maple Street Bookshop at the New Orleans Healing Center, Friday, October 19th at 6 at Maple Street Bookshop on Ponce de Leon, and Monday, October 22nd at 7 at the East Bank Regional Library in Metairie. Jilly and Jesse Lagasse signed The Gluten-Free Table. The Lagasse girls share their favorite meals, Thursday, October 18th at 5:30 at Garden District Bookshop. Cynthia Lejeune Noble signs The Delta Queen Cookbook, The History and Recipes of the Legendary Steamboat, Thursday, October 18th at 6 p.m. at Octavia Books, and Friday, October 19th at noon at the Tulane University Bookstore. The Open Mind of Lafcadio Hearn is an exhibition featuring first editions of books by Lafcadio Hearn, whose writings promoted the mystique of New Orleans to the nation. It will be on view October 18th through 28th at Tulane University Special Collections Gallery in Jones Hall, room 205. It's free. The exhibit opens at 6 p.m. October 18th with a lecture in the Freeman Auditorium of the Woldenberg Art Center by Bon Kozumi, Hearn's great-grandson and curator of the Lafcadio Hearn Museum in Matsui, Japan. A reception will follow. Poet J.S. Makos and novelist Louis Maestros will be the featured readers in the 17 Poets Literary and Performance Series, Thursday, October 18th at 8 at the Goldmine Saloon. Don't miss the 3rd Annual Children's Book Festival, Saturday, October 20th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Ladder Library, 5120 St. Charles Avenue. There'll be a special concert Friday, October 19th featuring music for children on the Ladder Library lawn. Father-daughter team Ed and Rebecca Emberly signed The Ant and the Grasshopper, Saturday, October 20th at 7 at the Art Egg Studios. That's at 1001 South Broad Street under the South Broad Overpass across from the Times-Picayune. Josephine Sacabo and Dalt Wonk present Nocturnes, a reading and discussion from 2 to 3 p.m. Saturday, October 20th at Crescent City Books. Willie and Corey Robertson, stars of the A&E hit series Duck Dynasty, will discuss and sign The Duck Commander Family, How Faith, Family, and Ducks Built a Dynasty, Sunday, October 21st at 2 p.m. at Maple Street Bookshop on Maple Street. There will be an open mic reading Sunday, October 21st at 3 at the Maple Leaf Bar. Room 220 presents Adam Parfrey, author of Ritual America, Secret Brotherhoods and Their Influence on American Society, and Joseph Scott Morgan, author of Blood Beneath My Feet, Journey of a Southern Death Investigator, reading and signing their work Monday, October 22nd at 7 p.m. at 735 St. Ferdinand Street. And Claire Keegan, the Irish Times Award-winning writer, reads Tuesday, October 23rd at 7 p.m. at Loyola University's Dana Center. Major support for The Reading Life comes from Octavia Books. Additional support comes from the Christwood Retirement Community, Our Lady of Holy Cross College, and the University of Louisiana at Lafayette Press. The Reading Life is produced by Jenny Lawson and is a production of WWNO. You can listen to us anytime or subscribe to our podcast at wwno.org. Or you can email us anytime at thereadinglife@wwno.org. I'm Susan Larson. Thanks for listening and keep reading.